The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
So we welcome you back to breaking news of the day. It has nothing to do with what's going on the stages here at SEC Media Days. Nothing like a well-planned out media gathering blown to smithereens by some breaking news out of Texas that the University of Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC. My understanding is they've hired a law firm to do some due diligence and to inquire. And Harry Lyles joining us. We had a lot of things to talk about, and I know that we'll get to them eventually, but you've been – Ross Bjork has already shot this down, saying he was unaware. Your quick reaction.
I think the timing is hilarious because right now as you and I speak, Jimbo Fisher is at the podium speaking. And just to drop that today of all days, and at this time is just hilarious timing to me. And I also think that this is something that perhaps shouldn't be as surprising to people because I mean, like, why wouldn't Texas and Oklahoma be interested in joining the SEC?
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately that's a great point. There is no mistaking here about this. This story has been percolating, and the concern here was that it would come out. So you have to think who masterminded the leak. And by the way, this is clearly a leak. I know a number of reporters who had heard the rumor, but there's no way to really. You just don't walk up to the commissioner of the SEC. Hey, by the way, is this true? Because he's not going to comment on
right.
it. I mean, he's going to like what? He's going to walk away. Because what do you think it means?
You know, I think at the very least, you know, a lot of times when we see leaks like these, obviously somebody's trying to poke at somebody else. And I think at other times that, you know, people are putting out feelers. And I think that right now, you know, we've seen that typically this is a very quiet time during the college football calendar. And we've had a lot of noise with NIL. We've had a lot of noise, you know, with any other number of different things, including playoff expansion. And, you know, if I am the person leaking this, like, hey, like right now, it seems like a lot of people are open to a lot of different things. Let's see how everybody feels about this. And then I think that's part of why we saw a leak like this today.
When you get beyond the leak, and certainly it was designed, I'm curious about this. Whether these two schools end up in the SEC, and these are complicated issues, is it fair to say a prayer for the Big 12? Because how does it survive if you lose? I mean, you're not losing Texas Tech and Oklahoma State.
Yeah. No, I think you have to, right? And I mean, like, let's say you do lose Texas and Oklahoma. What is your solution, right? Like, you and I were joking before we came on here, hey, like, swap, you know, Arkansas and Missouri. That's not a solution. That's not a solution that's going to make you feel better about losing Texas and Oklahoma, two of the biggest brands in the sport, not just the conference, but the sport. If you're the Big 12, I mean, even if, like, there's nothing substantiated with this league, right? Like, let's even just, like, say that. Like, that has to make you shiver a little bit. Because you can't afford to lose both of those. You really, in my opinion, you really can't even afford to lose one, especially if it's Oklahoma, just given the struggles that Texas has had ever since Mack Brown left. So I think that for this, you know, I think part of me is interested in, like, hey, like, it would be a blast if Texas and Oklahoma were both playing in the SEC. And another part of me is like, all right, well, I have no reason to watch the Big 12 anymore if they're not there. So
yeah, and the Big 12, as most people remember, is severely challenged from a media rights standpoint. I mean, they have good contracts with, I guess, Fox and ESPN, and ABC, but they don't have a network.
Right. Yeah, it's not the same. And you know, I think, like, once something like that were to happen, you know, you're playing from behind in a way that I don't think that any of us realistically could think that you could come back from. And then I think, honestly, that would just create a gigantic snowball effect of conference realignment that, you know, I think everybody has anticipated that would happen again at some point or another. I think that we're all just kind of waiting on, like, when that's going to be. And I think that if if Texas and Oklahoma were to move out and move into the SEC, then we would start to see things like that happening.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you're in the bubble, which we are in, it's a little hard to digest it. And stories move slowly, and those of us who cover sports, we think this is exploding. The average person, it's a rumor, but it's a rumor that has to be addressed. And you got the commissioner of the SEC who is doing countless interviews here, radio show after radio show. You have everyone sitting here at the same time. And I think it's interesting that Ross Bjork is here because, ADs don't always come to this thing.
Right.
He just happened to be here.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like I said, the entire timing of that to me was just absolutely hilarious because I believe the report came out, about 15 minutes ago,
yeah.
20 minutes ago?
It came from Houston.
And 10 minutes ago, that's when Jimbo was on stage.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it was, like you said, it's very methodical, very, very planned out.
Talking to Harry, other than the Texas Oklahoma story, how did you enjoy the play? But let me get to the rest of the week here. And you wrote about a couple of things that Commissioner Sankey addressed on Monday. Let's talk about that in particular.
Yeah, I think that the most interesting thing to me that he said since he's been here was about the forfeitures of games. And I think between him and also what Kirby Smart was saying, just basically hey, let's get this thing done so we don't have to do the cancellations, we don't have to do postponements, let's play out this schedule. We don't have to necessarily do this thing anymore. And obviously, we've seen that there are breakthrough cases if, people have been vaccinated and things of that nature, but the numbers suggest that if most guys are vaccinated, we're not going to have to deal with this anymore. We could have a bunch of fans in the stands. All of you guys can tailgate. We're all going to have a great time this football season. And just the way, and I think Sankey even used the words vaccine motivation in terms of trying to just get guys hey, let's get over this 85% so we don't have to mess with this anymore. And I thought that the way that he and Kirby Smart, Nick Saban wasn't necessarily as adamant on this. He was a little bit more to each their own about it. But those things really stuck out to me as the SEC does not want to be the conference that's going to be having any issues with this. They want to play football.
And you heard Saban today. You've heard other coaches talking about being above the threshold. Mike Leach was asked about it earlier. I don't know if you were in the room. Mm-hmm. Can tell the audience how that went down.
Yeah, he in fact, somebody had asked him if he had been vaccinated, and he was like, well, whether I have or not, I'm certainly not going to tell you. He was much more just not wanting to touch that. I thought, again, the way that Saban...
Oh, hold on. I mean, we have every coach so far, I think, has said they've been vaccinated. I've interviewed a bunch of them. Mm. You said it. What does that answer mean?
When
he says, I'm not going to tell you, I realize this is a personal thing, but I had to tell my company.
Yeah.
Is the same company you work for.
Yeah.
That we've been vaccinated, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Right, exactly. No, I thought that was interesting because also I'm just if you're Mike Leach, a lot of coaches at the very least, right? The one thing that all these guys have been able to agree on is that it is a competitive advantage, air quotes, to have not just yourself but all of your players vaccinated. And I thought, I guess it wasn't necessarily surprising given just how quirky and weird Mike Leach can be for him to give that type of answer. I thought it was irresponsible personally. I would hope that he's kind of delivering a stronger message to his players and if we want to do this thing, if we want to keep this thing going, you guys should probably get vaccinated. For me, in terms of when you are in front of the media, you are forward facing, you are one of the 12 or whatever head coaches in this conference.
Harry, there's only – I'm going to assume, and I know they teach you young guys in journalism school, I'm assuming, that if you refuse to answer a question about a vaccine, stop me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That means you probably haven't had the vaccine.
Probably.
And if you haven't had the vaccine, Mark Stoops said this to me yesterday. He said, I don't like to tell people what to do, mm-hmm. but I've told the team I've been vaccinated.
Right.
And we've informed them of all the pros and cons and encouraged them to, if they need more information, to get it. That's a sign that I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I am going to tell you that I've done it.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart said it. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban did it. Every coach here has said it.
Yep.
few more tomorrow that we don't know about yet. But we do know that Mike Leach, all he had to say was, I have not been vaccinated, or yes, I was vaccinated.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm right there with you.
It's not like asking you for your secret password on your phone.
No, totally. I think he should have come out and said it. I mean, I've been vaccinated. I got vaccinated as soon as I could.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that, you know, one of the things that has been interesting in watching, not even just in college football, but across sports, is, like, we keep asking people, like, hey, have you? Are you going? Things like that. And it's, like, it's weird that we're at a place where we're saying, oh, well, I need more information. Hey, man, it's July 21st. Like,
The vaccine came out in late December,
mm-hmm.
for the public.
Right. Yeah, and to me, it's just like at this point, we're starting to, the United States is starting to ship vaccines overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if we've gotten to that point, and at this point, if you have not gotten vaccinated, I think it could be different for players, because I, in having spoken to, it's less of a, I don't think that it's good for me, and more of a, oh, well, you know, like, when I get back to camp, I just feel like at this point, necessarily in college football, but just in general, if you haven't gotten the vaccine, like, you might just not be getting it. But I think that, you know, speaking a little bit more broadly here, I think everybody listening right now loves college football. That's why they're here. That's why you and I are here. We should all try to get that done so, you know, we can enjoy as much of a normal season as possible.
I mean, Leach is always interesting, and again, a reminder, we will talk to him, I don't know, an hour or so from now. His president at Mississippi State is Mark Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know, maybe they don't know. He's the chairman of the College Football Management Committee, which means he's the one that ordered the evaluation that Greg Sankey was involved with that came up with the 12-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
On the 12-team playoff, he said, this is Leach, I think 12 teams is a step in the right direction. I'd personally like to see 64.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back. We're talking about Mike Leach, the OU Texas story as well. Jimbo Fisher, has he started speaking yet? Harry Lyles with us, who's been...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Jimbo. I think Jimbo should be about wrapped up at this point.
Okay. We'll have him later in about 45 minutes. Let me go back to Leach for a second. I don't mean to pile on here, but he wouldn't talk about the vaccine. Some of the things I don't want to talk about. Some of the things I wouldn't tell you if whether I'd had or not. The 64-team playoff. I mean, I don't like what I'm hearing here.
No, I mean, like, the 64-team playoff thing, like, if you're talking to 14-year-old me, and I'm like, hey, I love football. Like, let's expand the playoff. Let's put 64 teams in there just like college basketball, because I have no concept of, like, what that would do to the bodies of the players or anything like that. I mean, like, there's been enough concern raised that it's going to 12 games that the champion would play, what, 17 games perhaps, about how taxing that is and just piling on to these young men and stuff like that. And obviously they love playing football, but that's strenuous even for, you know, the NFL guys. And I think the idea of just casually throwing around 64 teams, I mean, come on, man, like, that's not even realistic.
I get Mike Leach's appeal. I mean, it's a narrow appeal, but I mean, this is not a quarterback club in Columbus, Mississippi. I mean, this is a serious event, and, mm-hmm. and it seems like he's just making a mockery out of one of the biggest stories in college football.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I think that, you know, I think we all like it when we have coaches or players that make for good sound bites and are kind of really open and honest and don't give the answers that, you know, they think that we want to hear and stuff like that. But to suggest that there should be a 64-team playoff at the FBS level like that, or at least within the Power 5 and all that kind of stuff, is just...
Now, you were there. I wasn't. But, I mean, was he being Mike Leach, or was he just throwing this out?
He seemed like he was, like, super into it, and, in fact, had brought up that their president was involved in the committee, and he's like, well, you know, we got the right people in the room. Like, I would personally like to see it. I think that, you know, if they really wanted to make it happen, they could figure a way to map it out.
I need to spend more time with Mike Leach. I mean, I want whatever he's got,
yeah,
whatever
I'm, honestly,
he's sipping.
Yeah, it's
got to
be great.
I know you have to go. I don't want to keep you. You're about to do a TV hit, and we never keep people from TV hits here.
Listen, we'll talk more about a 64-team playoffs in the future. How about that?
Now, before you go, is there like two play-in games for that, or what?
At least, right?
In Dayton?
At least.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Harry
Paul.
Lyles Jr. joining us on a busy afternoon. We'll grab a couple of calls here. Jimbo Fisher will join us. I have a feeling that the official line from A&M is, who wouldn't want to be in SEC, but we're already here. It would be spun pretty severely. There's no question about that part. Let's grab Steve in Las Vegas. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just listening to the conversation you guys were having pertaining to the asking of the coach about his either taking or not taking the vaccination shot for himself, and he being in a position as a coach, having some kind of authoritative, oversight for players. I really don't feel that we should be asking coaches or any other athlete if they're taking vaccines or not. I think it's comparable to asking them what their religion is or what their sexual preference is. I think if you're going to start asking people if they took a vaccination or not, why don't you just go ahead and throw on, hey, have you cheated on your wife? Have you kicked your dog? I think there's some personal things.
Let me stop you. First of all, I agree with you. Hold on 1 second. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but remember to put this in context. It wasn't Anthony Fauci who stood in front of the media in Hoover on Monday. Commissioner of the SEC. He's the one who laid down the law. That opens the door for this to become a conversation. Capiche? I guess not.
Breaking up.
No, listen, I mean, don't start giving me HIPAA and religious rights when the man who is in charge of the league says, you know, we need to get to an 85% threshold from a player vaccination part. At that point, it's not that outside the realm. I don't like doing it. I've never asked anybody, but the commissioner made it a story, not me. How about James up next?
Paul, for a year and a half, we've been talking about increasing the voice of players. And now, obviously, we have some that are dissenting as far as volunteering to take this experimental vaccine, if that's what we're calling it, a vaccine. And when they dissent, when they don't get in line and march like the little soldiers they're supposed to, then we have a problem with that. I mean, I don't – there it is, right there. I mean, that's – we want them to have a voice – but when we disagree with what they got to say, we have an issue with them not taking our vaccine. I think to try to influence them to take the vaccine and to say, to intimate that we can't have football because, in other words, if you don't take the vaccine, we can't go forward with the football program. It's ridiculous. Fauci and the people that are driving this stuff, they want little, you know, school-age children, little bitty kids, to walk around in the classroom wearing masks. I mean, this stuff's been going on for over a year and a half.
James, unfortunately, we are going to have to continue this because we are literally at the end of this half hour, but I appreciate your thoughts. We will get to all of your thoughts as we roll on here on a very, very busy Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are live here in Hoover, and it's great to have all of you on a busy, busy day that we thought was going to be dominated by Nick Saban. Doesn't look like it's going to end up that way, but great to have you. And I just want to say this from a personal standpoint, that Laura Rutledge joins us. I have not seen Laura in a long time.
I've really missed you, Paul. And I know that's a shocker to everybody out there.
We're trying to you're too young to remember the Jerry Lewis telethon on Labor Day, where he would
I know where this is going.
He would go for 24 hours straight to raise money for muscular dystrophy. We just want to see right now you're halfway to 24 hours here on the network.
I might as well keep going. You know, the thing is, I'm not raising money for anything, so what am I good for? You know, I need to step up my game a little bit.
Well, people
raise some
people
money.
Have asked the question to me, you know, where's Laura? So we decided.
I'm here. Here's the thing, like the amount of people that ask me, where's Paul? That's a far greater amount than is ever asking about where I am. And I ask myself every day, where is Paul? Like there are times, Paul, when I'll be just going about my business and I think, what is Paul doing right now? Is he at a restaurant? Is he at the grocery store? Is he on the toilet? What is he doing right this minute?
We have not seen each other in a year and a half. Talked occasionally, and later, not now. Too many things going on, but we'll reveal one of those conversations.
I can't wait
in
for that big
months.
Reveal. Yeah,
maybe,
stay
maybe
tuned.
Maybe about 6 weeks on a Saturday morning. We'll tell about that one.
It was an intrusive meeting that Paul and I had. We'll tease it at that.
So. Before we get to the news of the day, how are you? And because I know all day while you're talking to coaches and players, you're not exactly talking about yourself. This audience here would at least like an update.
Well, you're so kind, and thank you for satisfying me with that. I miss all of you out there who may be part of this audience. You guys feel like my family. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back in the South. I'm glad to be back in Birmingham for a few days. And it's just really fun to be part of this environment again. And I got to say, you know, just being able to gather together once again and to feel, to give people hugs, to feel like we're sort of getting back to some sense of normalcy is really satisfying. It makes me really excited to see fans in person and to get back out there on the road in the SEC. We're excited to do that in the fall.
Well, we've certainly done that today. And Laura, having started the coverage at 3:48 a.m. Here with the Bezos liftoff. What have you seen all day and heard? What stood out?
There are a few things that stood out. I thought Nick Saban was particularly reflective today. So make of that what you will. There are people out there that say, well, he signed extensions and he's going to continue to go on. And I believe that he will. But I do think he's been presented with some perspective that allows him to look at things a little bit differently than he did before. And there were a lot of really thoughtful answers that I thought he had about NIL, that he had about the proposal for expanding the college football playoff to 12 teams. Clark Lee was very impressive to me. Now, he has a tall task ahead of him in what he can do in Nashville.
He had the most exciting suit on.
His suit was, I kind of want you to get a suit like that. If you miss the suit, it's got white, it was white as the base, but then it had.
I started to go up to him and order some ice cream at first.
Ice cream man, ice cream truck.
Anyway, I was
I loved
a long way
it,
off,
though.
And he was all in white, and I just thought, I'll get a dreamsicle. Or,
what would you get? Oh, you get a dreamsicle?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? Isn't it a creamsicle?
No, a drumstick? Is that one?
You combined drums and dreams and sickles, and we'll leave it at that.
Do you have any idea how long it's been since I bought ice cream?
Yeah, I'm buying you ice cream tomorrow. The other thing that stood out to me was Jimbo Fisher's confidence. We just heard him at the podium leading into your show, and Paul, I mean, if you ask Jimbo Fisher, they're winning the national championship, which I feel like we live in a day and age where these coaches are sometimes reticent to be as confident about their teams as they actually are or maybe should be. And they don't want people to say, oh, wow, you know, you said you were going to win all these games. Jimbo doesn't care. He's like, no, I'm good. How about the fact that there's this Houston Chronicle report that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC to join the conference, and Jimbo's asked about it, and he says, yeah, I'm sure they want to join the SEC, but I'm just worried about A&M.
Yeah, and the commissioner was asked about it. Everyone's being asked about it. He said, I'm here to talk about the 2021 season. So you can interpret anything you want.
That's a little spicy. I mean, you think this is going to happen?
I'm here to talk about the 2021 season.
Paul, you pooter. I can't trick you.
I will say this. My first impression of the story, Laura, is that there's something to it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think if you look at the way that the college football landscape is shifting anyway, there are a lot of these programs that say, we want to be associated with that for all of these reasons. And these reasons are a little easy to figure out, but they're also hard to navigate. And these programs are going to start taking ownership in that way.
And we will have Jimbo Fisher on shortly, and we're also going to have Ross Bjork on.
Great.
Who's in a little bit of an important position.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't want to ever – I know this is not true because the commissioner of the SEC does want this to be about the players and the coaches.
Yeah.
And what he said is accurate. But if you were sitting in a room at the SEC headquarters or anywhere and saying, how can we make – the SEC look even better than it already does, you would drop this story right in the middle of SEC Media Days.
Yeah, that's a very strategic point.
Assure you that's not true.
Not true.
There's nothing further. But if you're
nothing
a marketing genius, you go, the SEC is already the most dominant. Nick Saban shows up today. And now you have a story that looks like Texas in Oklahoma, or outside the Winfrey Hotel, banging on the door.
Let us in there.
Let us in.
Right. None of that is true, but there's something to think about.
I have a good imagination.
Hey, Paul, what stuck out to you today?
One thing in particular, and I didn't hear all of his interviews, but when Nick Saban dodged the Bryce Young question.
All day long.
It was, I guess he did the same thing. I missed your interview.
We tried.
I was... I'm sure online.
Yeah, you were
Chick-fil-A or
ordering
something.
A dreamsicle.
Drugs. A Nutty Buddy. Remember that too? Remember that?
But it's not called that either. I think it's called a Nutter Butter. Are you talking about ice cream or cookies?
We'll get back to the Oklahoma Texas story in a minute, but I just remember, you know, being a kid running down when the ice cream.
Yeah,
mobile came
the
down
truck.
This, yeah, and I would order whatever.
Come on, so, little Paul. order some ice cream.
This is going to go to my Journalistic Hall of Fame award when I talk about the biggest story potentially in modern
SEC history. Yeah, we're talking about ice cream trucks.
But the point being, Laura, that I don't even remember what the question was.
Well, you were saying that Bryce Young the supposed nearing $1 million. Yeah.
You've sat here and watch Nick Saban. You've interviewed him a thousand times. I have never heard Nick Saban not give a coherent answer. And he did not give one today. He gave I'm not saying any more about that. So I've gotten my standard. I may be wrong next year, so I'm just going to keep answering it that way.
Yeah, that's what he ended up reverting to. And the funny thing is about all this is I respect that in a way, But it's also like, what's going to be wrong? We don't know what wrong is going to be. He is worried about people having receipts a year from now and saying, well, you said this about his money and that money. And either way, I don't know if this amount is true. I don't know. It seems a little high to me, honest. But
this might be too close. But are any of the numbers that are reported by the media about salaries ever accurate?
I think they're usually overblown from what I can tell, or underblown, depending on the particular scenario. So exactly. There cannot be. We don't know how true that is or isn't true. The reality is it does help recruiting. You know, and that's a big piece in all of this. I'm not saying that Nick Saban is putting this out there to help recruiting, because I don't believe that he is. But it's just going to be a piece of what the conversation will be leading up to the season, during the season. And you do wonder about these locker rooms. I'm not one to sit here and try to invent locker room drama and try to say that that's going to be a thing. But you've got to think that there are some of these players that look over to their right and left and say, wait a second, he's making that. And I'm over here grinding and I don't have anything. You know,
does that happen in any other industry?
Oh man, I can't relate.
but it just seems to me that, you know, first of all, Saban alluded to some people today that he was talking to this convention yesterday of high school coaches in San Antonio, and he didn't think the media was there. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. I think he measured the reaction on the way back. And said, I think I'd let's just leave it right there. Why step on a good story?
That's an interesting theory, because that story, I mean, the second that it happened, of course, Lane Kiffin's asked about it. And I actually ran into Lane Kiffin after he was on the podium. He goes, I had no idea that the number could have even been that high. Like it wasn't even in. And you could see genuine shock on Coach Kiffin's face when it was asked of him. So, yeah, that one was plopped right in there,
because
one way or the other.
Anything he would have said, first of all, I mean, what does Nick Saban care about the most? Recruiting. Mm. And he's already sent the memo.
In the state of Texas.
Yeah. If you're a quarterback. This is where you don't go to Texas, horns
well,
up or down.
Did you hear Jimbo say that the state of Texas has so many resources from the standpoint of NIL and things that players can do for themselves? And then he also said that people have been doing those. He goes, people have been doing name, image, and likeness for all this time, but now it's just legal. Did you hear that part?
I did not.
You were getting mic'd up, so
the worst place to cover this is here.
I know. You had no idea what's going on. I'd rather watch it from home one of these times.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. I'd probably be forced to watch it.
Yeah, you'll be.
I'll be fired from any of this.
You'll be in Yazoo City, Mississippi.
I can't wait. Please welcome me with open arms.
We will take a break. I feel like I'm stealing you for another segment, but we'll talk a few more minutes about some things, because we haven't talked in a long time. And it's not that we're sharing this with the audience. I just want to catch up.
I know. Yeah, this will be during the commercial break. If we happen to come back, you know, and we're still talking, it'll be fine. You guys might hear something
interesting. It seems like old times.
I've missed you.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We're back. SEC Media Days, live from Hoover, Alabama. I love saying that. This is how it all began about an hour ago. Brent Zwerneman from the Houston Chronicle breaking the story that Texas, Oklahoma reach out to the SEC. I mean, the SEC bus just drove by. And Lincoln Riley and Steve Sarkisian said, hey, can we get on?
Toot, toot. Let us on the bus.
I It's interesting, Laura, because this is now the story of the week. And in fairness to everyone who puts this on, this is not really what you want in the middle of already the busiest week. But The early first hour read of the story is almost like, they're desperate. Do we really want them? And I'm not sure. Forget I'm not sure. That's clearly not what this is. I mean, these things just don't happen like this.
No, that's interesting. So you think the first hour read is that there's desperation on their end?
Well, because Ross Bjork and Jimbo helped shape that. Everything starts the first couple of months in the Twitter verse. Ross Bjork basically said, we got out of there. I mean,
yeah.
Jimbo, like, who wouldn't want to be? I think until this thing settles down a little bit, and it may by the end of the day, because I think there's going to be some pretty hard reporting overnight that indicates that there is a lot of veracity. Right now, it's like, but
there's some flippancy to right now,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But let's live in a world. Let's say that this is true, right? Let's believe in the reporting that's being done by a credible reporter, and we live in some world where it is being considered by the SEC potentially, because if you have powerhouse programs, a program in Oklahoma that has been in the college football playoff, and then a Texas that, yes, they've been down, but it's the name recognition like Texas, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, they're knocking on your door saying, hey, we want to bring all of our revenue, our fans, we're going to bring all of that to the SEC, you're probably going to listen. Right. Even if but then if you're Texas A&M, you're like, we don't want that other school in Texas in this conference.
And here's why, some people say, it used to be that Texas wouldn't want to get in the SEC. They were too.
Absolutely. They're too good for it.
Things have changed.
Absolutely.
And now you would say, why does the SEC think about this for a second? If the SEC, for whatever it's worth, wouldn't want them. Before you say that, if you say we don't want you, what happens? They're going somewhere else.
Good point. Because either way, assuming this is factual, they're getting out of the Big 12.
They are. You can say farewell to that, because the Big 12 without those two schools is the Big 10.
What are the pros from the SEC standpoint as a conference, not just a individual team point? What are the pros for Texas and Oklahoma?
I missed answering questions from you on Saturday morning. I think you're quite good at that. The pros are the most important pro is this. They are brand heavy. Mm. Every game with Texas, every game with Oklahoma is a must-see television event. And in the world that we live in, Laura, I know you don't follow this very closely, working at the worldwide leader in Bristol, Connecticut, this is a gold mine for a company like the one that employs the two of us.
There is an SEC deal coming to ESPN.
There is one.
Which we're very excited about, the partnership with Disney.
No doubt. And that's a big part of this. And it just creates this supernova of a conference. It's already the Supreme Conference, but I'm still somewhat breathless in trying to describe the impact of the University of Texas and Oklahoma. It's massive, and we're talking primarily about football, but it goes across the board.
Right.
But just think about the games. A casual Alabama-Texas game in October, or an Oklahoma-Georgia game, or any of these games.
It kind of makes you salivate from just the fan perspective to think about. But you also wonder, there's so many ripple effects here. It's like, are you expanding the schedule to where now these players are playing in even more games, which has already been an issue in the conversations around the proposals for the college football playoff, at least from the standpoint of some of these teams, like Dabo Swinney and Clemson, who say, we don't want that. We don't want to play in more games. Jimbo Fisher says he's all for it. Of course, they're the team that's on the cusp of the playoff, missing out this past year. But if you're Greg Sankey here, do you say, yeah, come on over? Or do you say, no, I've got to maintain the sanctity of what we are?
And exactly. And Laura, it just adds more value. But by the way, what it also means is everyone else will be scrambling. You were in junior high 10 years ago when the last explosion happened. And it was one of the most exciting stories, because every team, whether you're West Virginia, whether you're across the country, you're saying, where are we going?
And that's that doesn't happen very often. The new Pac-12 commissioner just sent out a tweet. Obviously, the guy has a sense of humor. And
oh, I love those.
He says, and just when I thought my first month on the job could not get any more interesting.
George, here you go.
It's worth remembering the Pac-12 started this, I believe, in 2010 when they almost grabbed Texas and Oklahoma.
Right.
And that really brought on what we now have in the SEC with A&M and Missouri, because it set off a chain of events, which this will too. The only person I feel sorry for is the person who has to come up with the new schedule for the SEC, because they're still recovering from adding
from 10
Missouri.
SEC games. Right. Yeah.
But anyway, it is. If you're Steve Sarkisian, you probably think this is great news. If you're a couple of other coaches, you're going, okay, now I got to play Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Oklahoma.
Paul, you think this is happening the way you're talking about it? You think it's happening?
We'll ask the head coach of one of the schools that could be involved the most in a minute. Laura, thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.